Good morning, I guess, everybody. Late morning. So today I'm going to be talking about a study that we just completed, Baja Belza, Shannon Petz, and I at the University of Washington. I actually just moved to the Group Health Research Institute, but I'm still working with UW, as we like to call it. So we did a study looking at better understanding built environment barriers and facilitators among people aging with mobility disabilities. And I have no disclosures to make. So just really brief background. I think everybody pretty much knows now that physical activity is good for us. It's good for our mental, physical, and cognitive health. And there's been a lot of research over the past decade or so really showing that the way that our built environments are designed, so the ways that our neighborhoods are laid out, were they designed for car use versus people walking, is related to physical activity. And in particular, everything kind of counts when it comes to physical activity. So being able to walk to useful places or being able to go running in a nice place, all of those are really important types of activities. And in particular, the built environment can impact people that are aging or people with disabilities more than others, because if you're, for example, as you age, you're not able to drive, you become more reliant on what's in your local area for opportunities to get out of your home. And little research has focused on the older adult population that's aging with disabilities. And in addition to look at relationships between the built environment and physical activity in this population, we need different types of measures. And in particular, the built environment a lot of times has been looked at in relation to objective assessment of it. And so people can go do an audit of any given built environment and associate that with physical activity, or use kind of GIS to develop indicators of the built environment. But what people actually perceive to be there is also really important. So kind of an example of that is, any given neighborhood could, statistically speaking, look very safe. But if you go interview a person there and they don't believe they live in a safe area, that will limit their activity. And so for older adults, people aging with mobility disabilities, there's not a lot of measures that look at perceptions of the built environment. And so in this study, what we wanted to do was kind of two things. We first wanted to better understand what the built environment barriers are for people aging with mobility disabilities. And then we wanted to adapt a measure that's been widely used across the globe called the Neighborhood Environment Walkability Scale for people aging with mobility disabilities. And this scale, which we call the NEWS, is kind of a more detailed measure of perceptions of neighborhood environments. But before we adapted it, we really wanted to do some qualitative work to kind of lay the groundwork for, what people that are aging with mobility disabilities saw as their built environment barriers and facilitators. And so the first kind of step in our research was to do home-based in-depth interviews. And that's the part of the study that I'll be talking about today. So what we did is we recruited people over 50 who reported using any type of assistive device. That was kind of how we really broadly defined mobility disability. And we sent them a GPS unit to wear for 3 days, and they mailed us back their GPS device, and we used the maps that were created as kind of prompts to get a sense of where they were going and what the built environment barriers and facilitators were to getting to and from places that were useful to them. So we went out to their home and we did these really long 2-hour interviews in their house that was facilitated using the maps. And then we also asked a bunch of other open-ended questions about their built environment. And we uploaded the interview content into Atlas TI software, which kind of helped us with the data reduction process, which we're kind of still going through. So the results I'll present today are kind of preliminary. So we had 35 participants in this study that did our interviews. Our average age was 67, but we had a very wide age range from 50 to 86-year-olds. Our sample was predominantly white and female, and just to get a sense of the walkability of the areas that people lived in, we did a walk score value for each participant. And our walk score average was 70, and walk score is on a scale from 0 to 100, where 100 is kind of the most dense walkable area. It's not a perfect metric, but it gives you some sense of walkability. And so this study took place in King County, which is predominantly suburban and urban, so it kind of makes sense that our walk score was a bit higher, but we did have a pretty good range of people in different kinds of neighborhoods. And our average median household income of the census tracks for our participants was just over $46,000 a year, which is much lower than the King County average, which is about $64,000. So we got a kind of lower to middle income sample. And then we had participants in our study use a variety of assistive devices, and most people used more than one type of device. So I'm going to share the qualitative results regarding the outdoor built environment themes that we have preliminarily put together. So the first main theme related to conditions of the ground, and in particular kind of the biggest barrier here was having hills. And Seattle's a very hilly place, so this kind of makes sense. It's a big barrier for many people in that area. And so a lot of people reported things like avoiding routes that had steep hills if they could. And then other kind of common sub-themes in this category were kind of debris being on the ground, difficult surfaces. So the picture on the bottom kind of shows when the surface of the ground changes from kind of being smooth to brick and there's kind of an interruption between the two, that's really difficult. And the picture also shows that when there's a lot of driveways cutting across the sidewalk, it makes for this undulating sidewalk that goes up and down, which is really hard to negotiate with a cane or a walker or a wheelchair. And the picture on top, kind of, this was one of our participants who lived near a really beautiful park that had a smooth, great walking path that was really accessible, except she couldn't actually get into that park because all of the entrances had some barrier for her. So this is one of the entrances to the park, which has a difficult ground surface, and actually at the end of that path are stairs that go down into the park that she couldn't negotiate. And the entrance that was considered accessible was actually a very steep incline, and she didn't feel safe going on that steep of an incline. And so those were her barriers to being able to use this great park that was in her neighborhood. Another common theme, which I think a lot of people have showed, is having curb cuts is really important. And so areas that lack curb cuts force people to go, you know, walking or wheeling in the road, which is really dangerous. And then also the other issue with curb cuts is that they oftentimes would discontinue. They also, one of the kind of major barriers was having the curb cuts be the conditions of the curb cuts were really problematic. So curb cuts that were kind of broken, as this picture shows, that put you out into the middle of an intersection. Also, some curb cuts in the area were very steep and too steep to negotiate for some of our participants. And in addition, one of the kind of interesting things is a lot of curb cuts now have kind of a bumpy texture for people who are visually impaired so that they know that they're entering a crosswalk. And in our sample, some people reported that those were helpful, and others felt that they were very dangerous because, at least in the Seattle area, the bumps are plastic. And because it rains a lot in Seattle, they get very slick. And that made for an unsafe situation for many of our participants. I noticed, actually, walking around here that I don't know the technical term for those bumps, but that they're not a plastic material and they feel a lot safer, at least to me. So some of the curb cut facilitators is just having them available. People reported things like, you know, being able to go to parks that have good curb cuts. And so that really encouraged them to use those places. And many of our participants reported that they go purposefully to certain parts of town that do have really good curb cuts. And then other people reported that the yellow surfaces were helpful. Another key theme for our participants was having places to rest and shelter. And so in particular, this is kind of a classic bus stop in Seattle and a classic Seattle day where it's rainy. And there's nowhere to sit and there's no shelter. And so these features really don't support people being able to take the bus, which is unfortunate. And so having sheltered places to sit and wait for the bus and just sit and rest on any given street. We had a lot of our participants said that, you know, they could walk a block or two at a time and they needed to sit and rest. And if there were places to rest, that would facilitate them walking to local destinations rather than having to get a ride or take a bus to get there. And then other key facilitators were having accessible bathrooms all over the place and lots of drinking fountains. And the next theme was related to traffic safety, so a lot of issues with feeling unsafe as far as visibility to drivers, drivers that basically aren't very polite, that don't wait for pedestrians, and then having streets with a lot of traffic. And then also bicyclists that use the sidewalks were a barrier that people talked about feeling very unsafe because the bicyclists would go very quickly. And in many cases, the sidewalks weren't wide enough to accommodate the bicyclist and themselves. And so having bicyclists on the sidewalk was an issue. And then facilitators, a lot of our participants had clothing that they wore that was really bright and helped promote their visibility. They preferred to take routes that had slower speed limits and lower traffic roads. And then they also just were very careful in how they went about on their local streets. So this picture kind of shows a bunch of themes that we found. One is related to crosswalks, which I'll get to next. And then the other, this just shows how many of our participants mentioned that drivers making right-hand turns were really problematic because they would kind of inch up and kind of start to cut in to the crosswalk when they were trying to cross the street. And so related to crosswalks, having, of course, timers that were too quick is a big issue. Not having crosswalks, being fearful of accidents. Many of our participants had stories about people in their area who were injured or killed in crosswalks. And so having clearly marked crosswalks is really important, and many different places to cross so that they could get to local destinations more efficiently and not get exhausted. And then sidewalks, of course, having them has been shown in many research studies to be important. And in our group, it was as well. But also surfaces that are have bad quality were big problems. In Seattle, there's a lot of trees that push up the concrete and make for uneven sidewalks. And then also having debris on sidewalks. In particular, a lot of people reported that the sandwich boards that restaurants put out kind of narrow the pathway. And then this is one of our participants who she collects all of the things that she finds on sidewalks and did kind of a show and tell for us of all of the stuff that really would get in the way, that would get stuck on her walker and make for very unsafe conditions. So these pictures just show that, you know, having sidewalks obviously in good condition, and then, you know, how these kind of boards that stores put out on the sidewalk really narrows the pathway and can make things really difficult. The facilitators are having, you know, sidewalks in really good condition, flat sidewalks and really wide open sidewalks so that many people can get by. And then being separated from traffic in some way. This is a sidewalk near a woman in our study who really can't, she was able to walk about two blocks radius from her house, but luckily lives in a very newly constructed part of Seattle where the sidewalks are really wide, and she's really able to kind of get around her neighborhood because of features like this. And this is actually outside of a grocery store that she goes to on pretty much a daily basis. And it's kind of the one thing that gets her out of the house is making her trip to the grocery store. So we found a lot of built environment themes that I think are fairly consistent with other research that's been done. Hills having curb cuts, the conditions of curb cuts and sidewalks, having good crossings, places to rest and shelter, and safety from traffic. And so we found that, you know, across the board, regardless of the assistive device that our participants used, there were built environment barriers. And at the same time, our participants were really adaptable and figured out ways to get to where they needed to go, even though it was often not in an ideal way. And I think one of the things that we really also found in our study, we were looking at, you know, looking for built environment barriers and facilitators to activity. But what was more important to our participants was just general mobility and the how they could get to the places that were important to them. So, you know, accessing food at grocery stores or going to the place where they volunteered. So we're continuing our qualitative data analysis. We have a lot of data that we're trying to analyze. So in addition to the outdoor built environment, we're looking at indoor built environments, food access, physical activity barriers, and transportation. And then we're working on adapting the NEWS, which was the measure of built environment perceptions for people that are aging with mobility disabilities. And then I just want to acknowledge my study team. We had a great team that worked on this project last year, and our funding from the CDC Prevention Research Center program.